So we're going to look back now to submodality work again briefly, because we didn't cover the phobia cue. So let's do that now. Now, here's the thing about phobias. They're damn easy to do. They're really simple. And they seem to have a profound effect. They look really dramatic. And they're really easy. So they're brilliant for demonstrating the power of NLP. Because they're fast, very effective, life-changing, and it's very obvious that the person has changed, because there's a massive before and after, which is really, really useful. Very, very useful, as I say, for demonstrating the power of NLP, which is why I use it at FYD, before I've obviously sold NLP, obviously, because it's a good pre-teach of just what NLP is capable of. Now, the reason why it is so easy to do is because we always, always know with a phobia that there's always a trigger. And it's a very strong, intense trigger. So once you know what the trigger is, you're halfway there already. Because the thing about... Does anybody have a phobia? Just raise your hand. If I'm not doing a demo, so you can raise your hand without any fear at the moment. So if you have a phobia, good, there's a few people, good, so that'd be good. Nearly always with a phobia, there is a significant emotional event that kickstarts off the phobia. Is that fairly true? As in, you had some kind of event where the phobia was... If they haven't got a significant emotional event around a phobia, it's not a phobia. It's a fear. Okay? Phobias always, always, always have intense, significant emotional events. Because if you think about it, what happens is, there you are, whatever age. It's normally when you're younger, most of them are set off. And what happens is, something happens that causes an intense sudden shock or fear to you in some way. So suddenly, you know, someone throws some maggots at you, for example, and you're not expecting it, or a spider suddenly crawls over your face, you're not expecting it, or you see something. Or it could be learnt behaviour from your mother or your father being scared about something gets passed to you. Suddenly you see one of your parents in a shock and really, really scared, and you've never seen it before. And then what happens is, as soon as you see that shock and scared, what happens? You associate the fear to whatever that thing is in that moment, and it gets anchored into that thing. So in that moment, a phobia is nothing but a very, very strong, powerful, intense anchor. That's what it is. And then it just continues to manifest. So what happens is, whenever someone runs a phobia, what they do is, if you think you have a phobia of snakes, for example, whenever someone mentions snake, then what happens is, immediately that happens, they see or go back to that time, and they run the old movie. They have like a big flash of a snake going like that. It's never something like, you know, over there somewhere. It's always like right here on top of them, probably, somewhere right intense. So all the submodalities get blown right out of proportion. And that's what creates it. So every time they run the phobia, they run it the same way every single time. They're not afraid of the event that happened because it's gone. They're afraid of the re-representation of the event in their neurology every single time the same way. And it just fires off all the old kinesthetic anchors. So this is definitely 100% one of those Columbo moments. Who doesn't know Columbo? So I can explain if you don't know who Columbo is. Just one person. I can't explain it to you, so it's important. So if you remember what Columbo used to do, he was a detective in... an American TV show, and he always played like he was completely thick, and yet he was really, really intelligent. So it's very disarming. So what he'd do is, they use this in sales, actually, called a Columbo close in sales, which what he does, when he was interrogating someone, he'd appear as if the person was like not in trouble. He'd like ask them all benign questions, like it had no real meaning or purpose, and they'd appear to have got off the hook, and they'd like go, oh, like that. And he'd like, so he'd have this whole kind of, oh, shucks kind of thing going on, yeah? And then what he'd do is, as he'd walk away, he'd go like, by the way, and he'd ask the one question he was wanting to ask the whole time. And this is the same thing with this, is that you want to have that whole kind of persona of, like, I'm dumb. I don't really know, you know, like, and it's really disarming. And that really works for this. So you definitely need to be flexible with it. So let me give you what I do first before I do the phobia cure. It's called the logical levels of therapy in NLP. And I always put it on the front end of any phobia cure intervention I do. So you might recognize some of this if you were at FYD. So what I want you to do is just draw this out for you so you can see it. So I don't have a slide. So what we do is, let me move this so you can all see, because you're a bit wider today. We start off down the bottom with our presenting problem. Our presenting problem. Yeah? So the client gives you the presenting problem, so in which case is a phobia, so they give you what the problem is. Now, when we're listening to how the person tells us the problem, the phobia, what we get from listening is we get, where are they in relation to this, cause and effect? Okay, that's the first thing we're listening out for, is where are they? Do they believe they're the cause, or do they think it's outside of them? Because you're listening for that, okay? That's the first thing you want to know. And it also gets us something else. I'm going to ask the question. I'm not expecting anyone to answer the answer, but it will also, if you think about it, there'll be something else they probably might come up with as well in their language patterns, a type of language pattern. It's a presupposition, and it's also a metamodal violation as well. What would it be? Anybody idea? Okay, it's modal operator. Modal operator of possibility or necessity. I have to, I can't, I must. You will hear someone might hear some of those language patterns as well, yeah? So modal operators. Good. So what do you think we're going to do next? We've got our language patterns coming up. What do you think you will be doing next? Is as part one of the tool that you'll be using next, because we're into the problem here, okay? So we're in diagnosis, aren't we still, yeah? So what tool would you think you use next that you've learnt thus far? Well, because we're still in the gathering information stage at this time. Chunking down, very good. So what we're going to do to chunk, what's the tool we use for chunking down? Metamodel, so we metamodel it. And what that does, by using the metamodel, it gives us the pattern. It gives us the pattern. And that's really important. Yes. What type of questions? Yeah, good. So it depends on what metamodel violation you get. So it could be like, you know, how do you know she doesn't like you? How, or in this case, you know, or it could be like, what is it about it that causes you to choose to da 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 da, whatever it might be, yeah? Depending on whatever you get here. So just metamodel. It won't be a big metamodel, but it'll be a few metamodel questions. Because what that does is get you to a greater presenting problem, because the person might not remember what the real cause of the thing is, yes? So you've got to get them back to the root cause. That's what that's about, getting to the root cause, yeah? Always. Then, what you'll do is, you're going to ask a series of other questions, which are, they're part of the metamodel almost, but they're specific questions, and they are, how do you do it? You ask them, how do you do it? So what we're saying is, how do you do the phobia, is what you say. So how do you do it? Or, and, possibly, when? What does that give us? Good. Triggers. When do you do it? Or the question we heard yesterday, which is the real NLP question, is how do you know it's time to do it? Yeah. Yes. Nothing. All we're looking seeking to do at this point, because here's what happens. If we ask them, how do you do it, what are we doing? which is moving it, which is moving them from effect to cause. All we're seeking to do at this time is begin to start the process of moving them. Because most questions they'll get is not how, but why. Most therapists will ask the question, so, okay, great, so why do you have a phobia? That's no use to anybody. Why do you have it? We don't care why, it's how. Because why is past, how is now. We want to solve the problem now, not yesterday. Make sense? So how do you do it? What that does is it gives us, gets them back to cause, from a cause and effect point of view. What does it also do when you say, how do you do it? What does it also do with the client? Good, so associated, excellent. So it puts them present state associated, yeah? I'm running out of room here, sorry guys. So puts them present state associated. Now we haven't covered this, yes, and it does something else as well. Say again. Yes, which is the same thing as cause. It put them at cause, absolutely, yes. It also does something else. Good, so what are they going to run? Brilliant, excellent. So it gives us the strategy. So what are we going to be looking for, guys? What are we going to be looking out for? Eye patterns. Okay, we're looking out for eye patterns there, as well as other things, as well as what they say verbally. Yeah, so we're looking for, see, are there any synesthesias here, which there probably are with phobias. Okay, so looking for eye patterns. What it also does, from a therapist point of view, for you, is it busts any mind reads that you have. So if it stops you from mind reading how they do it, it actually gets you the real strategy of how they do it. So it busts open any mind reads, okay? Great. Good. Now, next, here's what we do next. By the way, you can use this particular model with any particular intervention as well, by the way. It wouldn't necessarily have to be just phobia cure. You could use it for most things. It works particularly well for phobia cures. Here's what I do the next. What I normally say is, look, okay, good. So they've started with that. They've given you a bit, but they're probably a bit struggling to take all the cause. So I say, okay, look, here's what you do. Look, just I'm from a temporary agency. I'm a temp. And what I do is I stand in for people and I do their problems while they're on holiday. So just imagine that you're on holiday now and I'm stepping in for you. Now, I don't want to fuck up and get it wrong. So teach me. Teach me how to do it. Teach me how to do your problem. Okay? So teach me. We call that. Now, what's the benefit here, do you think, in moving it now to teach me? Say again. To who's you in this situation? No, it actually moves the responsibility actually away from them. Because what we're doing is, they've got responsibility for it here, but they're owning it. What this does is it makes them the authority. Makes them the authority on phobias. Because listen, they are an authority on this phobia because they've been running it a long time. So it makes them an authority, which makes them feel a bit better about themselves. Yeah, okay, good. This is how you do it. And this is definitely when you want to do the Columbo bit at this point. You definitely do the Columbo bit at this point. I'll tell you more about that in a second. So it makes them the authority. And what it does is are they associated? They're dissociated. So it's authority. And dissociated, which is often easier for them to suddenly now tell you what the strategy is, because you've got them dissociated. Okay, brilliant. Now here's what you do. This is the real magic part. This is the pattern interrupt bit, because this is what it's all been leading to, is getting the strategy and then messing about with it. What you do is, you say to them something like, okay, so how do you do it? Oh, teach me. Come on, how do you do it? Wham, as you just walk in someplace and then wham, it's all happening. Do you see a picture? Do you hear something? Do you say something to yourself? What goes on inside? How do you do it? Come on, teach me. I said, do you have a picture? And they go like, well, yeah. I said, well, what's that picture like? Where is it? Is it like a big picture or a small picture? They go like, oh, it's a really big picture. And you say, oh, right, what about this kind of big? Is it like about this kind of size? Is that, this is the Columbo bit. You say, is it about this big? They go like, no. You say, oh, okay. Well, could it be this size and work? And they go, no. So what's happened there? Yeah, because in order to answer the question in their head, they've got to make an internal representation of that it won't work that way. So what's happened is you just fucked up their strategy one time, haven't you? You just screwed it up one time already, yes? So it's lost a bit of its power already. And you just be totally playful with this again. So you go for the next submodality. You say, okay, great. So is it colour or is it black and white? I said, well, it's colour. What, you mean like an old black and white movie? I said, no, it's colour. You say, oh, sorry, okay, well, but if it was black and white, would that work? They go like, no. You say, oh, okay. And you keep going for all the submodalities and say, so where is it located in your field of vision? And they say, like, is it like over here? Is it over there? Where is it? And they go like, no, it's here. It's right here in my face, like there, because it nearly always is. You say, it's right here on my face? Or is it over here? Or is it right over there in the corner? Or is it down, the mate says, is it down there in the bottom of your toe? They go like, no, it's here, right here in front of my face. He said, okay, but if it was down there in your toe, embedded command, if it was down there in your toe, would that work? And they go like, no. You go, oh. And you just keep playing this whole game and keep messing around with the strategy the whole time because you're breaking it up. So you need to be playful. We call this taking it all the way out. Take it all the way out. As in, like, blow the submodalities out of all proportion. Do the opposite of what they normally do in their head. And what that does is it blows out the strategy. And it also gets you the finer submodalities of how they do it at the same time. That by itself might actually make the phobia go away on its own. You can see how that might work, wouldn't you? Yeah? And you can even, I even play with the content of the picture as well to break it up. A bit like the Harry Potter thing that we saw yesterday. I also play with the content of it at the same time. So what is actually in the picture, I say? And so it's a big hairy spider and it's like this. And so, oh right, so I said one of those little spiders like that with like little feet and going like this, for example, a big smile on its face. You know, and it's really, really kind of cuddly, kind of like lovely little spider like that, you mean? It's got like purple and red stripes down the side and it's really beautiful, energetic. If you could hear its voice, it would be singing a special spider song. Anything, but something strange and weird, doesn't matter. Because all it's doing is just messing around with their strategy the whole time. And the more humorous and funny you can, ridiculous you can make it, the better it is. You know, putting little shoes on them, and they always wear Nikes and stuff like that, all that kind of crazy stuff. Anything at all to break up the pattern. The most humor you could possibly have will really, really work for this. Okay? And that's called the logical levels of therapy. So you can do that in advance. And that will still work for memories as well, if you do it for the memory. Again, presenting problem, meta model. So how do you do it? Because there's a strategy for running the old memory, for example. You hold it in a certain submodalities. Okay, great. So teach me, how would I do that? If I was going to, you know, do the same thing, how would I do it? And they could teach you the submodalities and then just start messing about with them all the time. Again, you can mess around with the content. So what was the look on their face? What kind of look did they have on their face when they told you this? And they go like, well, it was like this. And you go like, it was like this? And they go like, no. So we'll go ahead, you know, see if that would work. If they had a face like that in your picture, what would happen to you if you did it like? They start laughing. That's a massive move. The moment they laugh about it, it's great. Because you've just overlaid, it's like one scratch of the like CD kind of thing, yeah? All right, so that really works. And that's then, what I then do is once I'm convinced that it would already work, it's almost already worked with the logical levels of therapy, then I move to the fast phobia cue. Okay, so let's have a look at the fast phobia model then. So it says establish a resource anchor. So if you haven't already got one, then create one at this point. And a resource anchor, as we know, is a stacked anchor, just like we've already done the other day. So stack lots of positive, and we've given you some preferential states to do that, so you can do that. It also says acknowledge the client's ability to learn quickly and never forget. So you can just be a bit humorous with that. So you could actually put that bit in, because we're doing the logical levels of therapy, you could put that in before. And just say, so they say, okay, so I have this I have this presenting problem. And the first thing you can do, because it fries their brain into it, it's like, oh, fantastic, excellent, well done. They're like, what do you mean, well done? So it was excellent, well done. You have a very unique skill. Good. They're like, it sends them a bit of confusion, which is great, as you know. They say, well, look, listen, I forget to put the rubbish out and stuff, you know, around my house, you know, the dustman come around and I forget and stuff. And then, but every time you remember to be afraid of X, Y, Z. Every time, you almost never forget. Well done, excellent. That's a good skill. Because what you're doing is, again, it's a bit of cause and effect. What you're saying is that you're doing it every time. You remember. It's your strategy again, yeah? So it's the client's, because a phobia is always a, what we call an NLP, a one-time learning event. Yeah? Good. So have the client imagine they're sitting in a cinema and they're looking at themselves on the screen, or looking at a blank screen we've got, and then have them imagine floating back out of their body, going back into the projector room, seeing themselves down there in the chair, so they see the back of their head, watching themselves up on the screen. What's that done? From an NLP point of view, what does that do? Double dissociate. Because this is dissociated because they're seeing themselves in the picture as opposed to seeing it through their own eyes. And this is double dissociation, yeah? So it's just an extra dissociation. Because it's a phobia, we don't want someone to go into their stuff with it when they're doing it. So they'll be meta to it because they'll be dissociated. As I say, this is kind of like what automatically some people have been abused do when they're being abused, specifically sexually abused, for example. Automatically the brain does this to dissociate them out of the feelings. Oftentimes they'll go up in the corner of the room, for example, looking down on themselves, etc., etc., while the event's happening. Yeah, so we use that same technique here. So then we go, okay, then have them watch themselves, watching themselves on the screen, experiencing their phobic response. So have run the movie that they always see in their head. So let them run the strategy, if you like, of the snake, spider, whatever it is, and run it forwards in black and white. Black and white nearly always will make it less real, because old black and white movies suggest what? Past. It's gone, yeah? Not real. And again, it's dissociated because they're not seeing it through their own eyes either. So it's just kind of different to how they do it already anyway. When the movie comes to an end, have them black or white it out. I always say white it out. And then once you've done that, then have them associate into the movie. So now what happens is that you forget the dissociation bit, have them associate, now they're doing this, they're in here. So they're actually that person seeing it through their own eyes. They go into the thing, okay? Into the phobia itself. And what we do is we have them run the movie at very high speed backwards in color, really fast, like that. And you start going, so run it really fast, really in color, backwards, really fast, come on, really fast, really fast, backwards, back, right, really fast, really fast, right. And when you get to the end, just stop when you're ready. And normally as soon as they stop because they're following you, they go, okay, good. And then again, you do the same thing. Okay, great, white it out. Then repeat, okay, great, so play it forward again in black and white. You can do extra things here. Now play it slowly. Just do anything at all to mess about with it. Play it forward slowly, play it backwards. Put like half the color in it. Anything at all just to keep messing with the strategy. Forwards, backwards, anything at all just to keep messing around with it the whole time. Anything but the way they used to do it. Crazy music, yes, yeah, so add some auditory stuff to it, crazy, or put your favorite piece of music at the same time, but speed it up twice the speed, you know, like you do when you hear those, when you raise the speed of most, and all like Mickey Mouse voices, anything like, just keep playing with it, but all the time like that, yeah? And then you test future pace. So can you think of a time in the past which if it had happened previously would have caused you to rather had that old feeling. Notice how it's different now. And then future base. So can you think of anything in the future? Blah, blah, blah. And again, make them really convinced. Look, you used to be good at this. You can't let this go that quickly. Convince me. You used to be good at this. Come on. Try really hard and be afraid of snakes. I just can't. Okay. I guess we're done then. And I also, number 10, I did this last at FYD as well. If necessary, use a swish pattern to install a new appropriate behavior. I do that oftentimes because I'm just going to bring the snake on. Or I'm just about to bring the maggots on. In which case, I want them to know what to do when it comes up. Yeah. So have that ready. So once you've done test and future pace, yeah, then you might want to run the pattern again. So what you'll do is, old phobia, new picture of how they want to be instead. So me, you know, being curious around a snake, being fascinated by a snake, seeing myself holding a snake, being looking at the snake, being like, yeah, wow, I'm surprised, you know, and stroking it, for example, and being surprised by the feel of its skin, for example, you know, or seeing the snake being happy, for example, and like, or me figuring in my head that the snake's just cuddling me, for example, and it's caressing my body and being nice to me, or whatever, anything at all. Put that picture there. Swish, 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 swish. Yeah? So, old picture here. Sorry, old phobia here. I did it wrong, didn't I? So, old phobia here. New picture here. Swish, swish, swish. Okay? Good.